Savior, Jesus Christ. You might think that most of the time when Jesus spoke to crowds of people or even small gatherings on the street or in homes, you might think that he was mostly talking to a supportive crowd, like the crowds that politicians like to have gather at their rallies. And there are stories in the Gospels which seem to infer that people who heard Jesus speak liked what they heard. They tended to believe in him. They followed him. Some of them even wanted to make him a king. But reality was likely far more complicated. Even today, when some new idea gets tossed out there, some people jump on the bandwagon right from the start. We call them early adopters. And they're important influencers as the message makes its way further into the world. But regardless of how great a message is, or how brilliant a product is, there are also those who will jump off the train just as quickly as they got on. In fact, marketers say that many of those early adopters will actually not remain loyal followers of the brand. Those people that jump on at the very beginning, they tend to have unrealistic expectations. Or they're just the kind of people who are always looking for a new thing. They tend to get bored easily. There's a little clue in today's gospel reading that suggests that some of the early adopters of Jesus' message were also those who fell away quickly. John says that Jesus said these things to the Jews who had believed in him. Now remember, it's the idea that these people are Jewish shouldn't make much of a difference. Most of the people who listened to Jesus were Jewish. But the remarkable factor here is the had believed. They believed once, but now they don't. John doesn't include any of the parables of Jesus. But this seems to be just the thing that the parable of the sower is about. Remember, that's the one where the farmer goes out to scatter the seed for growing, but some of the seed falls on the path and other seed falls on the rocks and the weeds. But some of the seed falls on good soil and it grows. These people today seem to be either those seeds that fell on rocky soil where they couldn't get a good grip in the dirt, or those that get choked out by the nasty weeds. And there's also that parable that Jesus tells about the wheat and the weeds growing together. And Jesus tells the disciples not to try to pull up the weeds, because they'll end up pulling up the precious wheat as well at the same time, and you can't have that. For whatever it's worth, Jesus hasn't written off these folks who once believed in him but do not any longer. Jesus, just like he didn't want the weeds to be pulled up with the wheat, and those who no longer believed in Jesus, they seem perfectly happy listening to Jesus, even though they may not necessarily think that he's the latest and greatest anymore. This is an interesting window into the complex social interactions of Jesus and the people who got to listen to him personally. But Jesus also uses the whole situation for the benefit of what he wants to teach whoever's going to listen. You know, they say that once you learn something, like how to ride a bike, you never forget. That's not entirely true. I've known people who have tried to ride a bicycle after a long time away, and it's not really that easy. The way we use our muscles changes, and we might be a little bit more cautious of falling. It's just not the same. Some of you have seen and heard me play guitar from time to time. Well, as you can probably tell, I don't really practice all that often. And when I do pick it up to play, I have to think a second about which fingers to use and where they go. Because I don't play very often, I forget how to do it. Jesus says it's the same with faith. You got to pick it up every once in a while and use it. It's about muscle memory. You don't want to forget, let yourself forget how it works, or let your mind start to tell you that you're too old. Jesus tells these people who had believed in him once upon a time, but for whatever reason, now do not. He says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And to pick up on the theme of plants growing in the soil again, the word that we have here as continue is actually the Greek word abide. It means to dwell, to exist, to linger. It's what the seed does when it settles into the good soil. It stays there for a while, long enough to be transformed by the powers at work in the chemical reactions in the soil and the dirt and the seed and the water and the air. Jesus is perhaps admonishing these people who had started to drift away from their early interest in what he had to say about God. He's kind of letting them know it's not going to work if you just hop on and off and take a lap or two around the block. You got to spend some time with this thing. You got to dwell in the Word long enough for it to do some work on you, transform you into the creation that you're meant to be. Instant results are not the friends of the faithful. As with most of the important things in the world, it takes time. Jesus doesn't come down hard on these people who had believed in him, but he knows that if they're going to expect immediate results, they're going to be disappointed, and they're not going to make very good disciples. There's a scene in the great movie Mr. Holland's Opus where he's trying to get these high school kids in the band to come together as one. He's new to the job of teaching himself, it turns out, and truth be told, he'd rather be out playing in the clubs and getting heard and maybe even getting a record deal out of the thing. But he's teaching high school band, and they're not very good. And they're undisciplined, and they've got way too many things on their mind, and some of them are new to music. They're intrigued. They're enamored by the lure of making music, but they haven't had much practice time yet. And some of them decide to give up. And one day at school, late in the day, as Mr. Holland is getting ready to go home, he notices, hears, one of the girls, Gertrude is her name, practicing her clarinet. Now, my sister played clarinet for a while, and it's not the easiest instrument to play. But when you're learning, it can sound really like a dying cow. And Mr. Holland hears Gertrude trying to get the notes to play on the clarinet. And he knows that it's late. So he opens the door to the room where she's practicing, and he blurts out, "Come on, give it a rest, and go home." And of course, Gertrude breaks into tears because she assumes that Mr. Holland doesn't think she can play the clarinet. She thinks he'd rather she just quit. But that's not his point at all. And he realizes that in his fatigue at the end of the day, and maybe his resentment at believing that he might never get to become the musician he thinks he wants to be, he realizes that he's hurt poor Gertrude's feelings. So he backs up and he tells her he's sorry. Helps her understand that it's okay to hang it up for the day and try again tomorrow. But the point is that Mr. Holland knows that to be a musician, to be a good band, it takes time. Yes, practice is important, a lot more practice than I've been compelled to put into the guitar, but also rest time. and reflection time and doing something else for a while time. And then you come back to it and you go again. And that becomes your routine, your life. That's what it means to dwell in it. It's what Jesus means when he says, if you dwell in my word, you will be my disciples. I usually try to make a distinction between religion and faith. Religion is what a lot of people throughout history have had. For a long time, people had the religion that was expected of them, the religion of their tribe, their family, their people. But it's not hard to have religion. You can have religion in the same way that a school can have a band, or a football team, or a chess club, and you can sign up to be a part of it, like so many early adopters do. They want to play the clarinet or be on the team. But most never make it that very far. They find themselves on rocky ground or trying to grow up among the weeds, and they get frustrated with the whole thing and they quit. Truth be told, there are a lot of voices out there telling us to just hang it up and go home. Voices that aren't as compassionate and caring, although fallible nonetheless, as Mr. Holland. But religion can be there all around us, like the school band, and to some extent we're a part of it because it's our school, it's our people. But we don't really have to put any real investment into it. Religion is something that a lot of us have just because we happen to be born in a certain time and place or to a certain family. But faith is something different. Faith is what Jesus is talking about when he admonishes people to dwell in his word. This is long-term, arduous practice, but also time to rest, times of joy and sorrow and grief and pain, but also wonder and amazement. Faith is falling into the soil and dying to an old existence and then breaking forth out of that tomb of death and bursting forth to the sun above with all kinds of new life inside of you. Faith isn't the bicycle that belongs to you but hardly ever gets ridden. It's not the guitar that gets played once or twice a year. Reformation is our commitment as a church to dwelling in the Word of God through Christ. It's our dedication to be more than religious through the highs and the lows, sometimes soaring, sometimes falling, but always holding on to that word of truth in the gospel. Confirmation is the step taken by a young person who has grown up in hearing the religion of his family and the faith of his parents, but who now says to himself and to God and to all of you, I will dwell with you in the word of Christ. But make no mistake, confirmation is by no means a once and done sort of thing. It shouldn't be something that happened to us way back when we were in Sunday school. Rather, it's a daily commitment to renounce sin and confess the faith of the church. It's our commitment to dwell in the faith that comes because Jesus has spoken a word of life to us each and every day, and we are renewed. And even when we do come to Jesus as those ones who had believed in him once upon a time, but have neglected to pick up the instrument of faith for a while, even when we come to Jesus like that, knowing our faults, our failures, even then, Jesus will speak to us gently, encouraging us to continue in his word. Maybe go home and give it a rest for a while, but then pick it up again tomorrow and go again. And there is freedom in not having to get it right all at once. And if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. Let us sing together.